today on Real Radio.
You can write it down in your notes. Don't believe me? Go research it. Paul is mocking them. My, Corinthian church, you're the super church. You are so self-sufficient, you are so independent that you don't even need God anymore. Keep reading.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series that takes a look at the first 14 verses of chapter 4, where Paul describes the Corinthian believers as servants and stewards, and then goes on to explain what that really means. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called How Can We Serve You?
Many of you already know. You have people down there, relatives, down in Mexico right now in Baja at our church this morning having church service. The team is down there witnessing. I'm getting texts and emails. 3 came to the Lord. 5 came to the Lord. 27 came to the Lord. Outreach. Why spend money and take your vacation time and go and to a little fishing town and share Jesus as they are today? Because it's all about him. There's no hope without him. But the church in Corinth, they had it all. They had so much. And so Paul is really saying to them, how's it feel to be so amazing? How's it feel? Complacency was the scourge of the Corinthian church. They had entered into a comfort zone. They had become very, very comfortable at being a Christian. You guys, it's a dangerous day when you become comfortable in this world being a Christian. These are dangerous times. And if you stand for Jesus, it's going to cost you in ways you'll never know. But is he worth standing for, church? I know there's a lot of people even in this first service, but imagine for a moment if somebody stormed into this building right now and said, all those who believe Jesus Christ is the one true God, died on the cross for your sins, and rose again from the grave, you're a born-again Christian, stand up. We're going to machine gun you down. How many of us would stand up? I would pray all of us would. That would be, and that happens, but that would be a defining moment as to if you lived your life for Jesus or not. You see, if you've lived your life for yourself only, you have nothing to stand on when that moment comes. Is your faith so secured in him that it's all about Jesus? That it doesn't have to be some guy with a machete or a machine gun. It can be a doctor with a note. Is your foundation Jesus? The Corinthian church, they made themselves the foundation. We need to be cautious in this church, you guys. God has blessed us. Let me tell you something. Are you guys all listening? Because I'm going to hold you accountable to this and you hold me accountable to this. God is blessing this church. We have influence in places we didn't even know. The word is going out to places. How can I go to a restaurant and sit down and there's a woman who joins the services from Chicago, as I mentioned a moment ago? That's weird, you guys. Why, when it comes election time, all the politicians call this office and want me to all of a sudden pray for them? What's going on? You can't get the attention of Barbara Boxer without getting in trouble. What's going on? You can't take a stand for the defense of marriage, Genesis chapter 1, without getting in trouble. As a church, we're known in the world. That's scary. You want to know why? It's a trap. It's a trap if you begin to think, whoa, look. The more God uses you, are you listening? The more God uses us, the more we better walk around on our knees. The more we better be careful. Because if you like it or not, you may be sitting here saying, Pastor, no Nobody even knows I'm here. You go, Pastor, because I'm just going to hide right here. We're in this together. Okay? And when we say what Jesus said, that unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. I didn't make that up. Jesus said it. And when you say it, people get either happy about it or upset about it. You're probably sitting here right now saying, I don't like that. Jesus said, if you die believing in him, you will live eternally. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. Amen. Wow. You believe that? Yeah. If you believe that, it's going to get you in trouble. It's true. Listen to this. Church of Corinth, they were cool. They wanted to relate to their culture. I can't think of a greater way to relate to your culture than by preaching the gospel. Amen. Oh, no, man, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do the other. We're going to have church, but we're not going to mention sin. We're going to have church, and we're not going to mention cross. We're going to have church, and we're not going to mention fill in the blank. Why? To bring in the culture. Just know this. If the culture comes in and you don't have a cross and you don't have a Savior that died for those precious people, then that culture, it's the way that it works. Didn't Jesus say it? A little leaven leavens the entire lump of dough. If there is no cross for us to run to for hope, then evil will just spread within a church and it'll be no different than the world outside these walls. That's serious stuff. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 says, Jesus says, and to the angel of the church at Laodicea write this. These things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Isn't that awesome? Who's the creator? Jesus. Wow. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus said that. To who? To a church. Wow. In Luke 6, 25, Jesus says, woe unto you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Dangerous stuff. I'm not saying be a church that everybody hates. I'm saying be a church that stands for the truth. You're going to get hated either way. Just make sure that at the end of life, at the end of history, you end on the right side. Paul is saying, Corinthians, you're not right. It's a powerful thing that he's announcing to them. Third point, verses 9 to 14. How can we serve you? I think this is a fun part, though it's painful. How can we serve you? We serve you best by being dead. And somebody would say, amen. But it is true. We serve you best by being dead. Let me explain that. In verses 9 to 14, there's a beautiful summation of this found in Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. Can you write it down? How can we serve you best? Listen to Romans 14, verse 7. For none of us lives to himself. He's talking to Christians. None of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Remember Paul Simon said, I am an island. He sang that song. What song is that? I'm an island, and I'm a rock, and a rock feels no pain. You know he's crazy for saying that? Who wrote that song? Somebody who didn't know what they're talking about. I'm an island. It's about self-protection. I'm all alone, and I love it. No, you don't. God didn't make you that way. You're all alone because you're trying to protect yourself from hurt. This world's full of hurt. The only way that you can overcome the hurt is by love. So watch this. Romans 14. For none of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are what? The Lord's. Is that a great verse? That's awesome. You should have that tattooed on your dog. That's amazing. That's awesome stuff. It all comes down to this. It's what General Patton said. I have to change the words, but General Patton said, we're going to go to war tomorrow. And if you're thinking about surviving, forget it. He said, most of you, if not all of us, are going to die. So get ready, men. You know what? I know this sounds crazy, but you can't stop someone who's already dead. You say, well, they're dead, aren't they? I'm not talking about physical death. Dying to self, dying to watch, dying to plans. A minister of the gospel, dead men, they have no plans. I say, what do you mean by that? Look what he says. For I think that God has, number one, displayed us, the apostles, last. These guys were ministers of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. They were abused. They were made fun of. They were misrepresented. They were attacked. Number two, not only are they displayed as last, look at number two, condemned to death. He goes back to the under oarsmen. Remember, you guys, I told you last week that the guys that were rowing in a Roman galley or warship, they were slaves condemned to death. Now he goes back to that. He says, we're already dead. For we have been made, look at number three, a spectacle. Spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Spectacle. I'm going to give you some words here. They're amazing. Displayed, made public. That's what it means. Condemned to death, carrying their own sentence of death. The judge handed them the paperwork, and the guy that's condemned to death is walking with his own death orders. Did anybody hear that? Are you guys awake? The Christian ministry is the fact that we're to give out this word, come rain or shine, and it will eventually be our death warrant. See, we don't get that in Southern California. We will. It's coming. But if I gave this message right now in Turkey, five Christians last year, you can read about it, were brutalized for 3 days and then killed for preaching the gospel in Turkey. I can't give this message in Iran. I can't preach this in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan. I don't even know if I can give this message in London anymore. Is it Oklahoma next with what's in the news? It's the sentence of death. Who or what are you living for? My friend, all of us will die for something in the end. The clock is ticking. Time will run out for us, each of us individually. I know some of the young people, you never think, I'll never die. You have that feeling. By the way, that's why generals are in the back. And they send all the young guys out in front. You want to know why? Because the generals are old enough to know, hey, when I was young, I didn't think I'd get shot. No young man thinks he's going to get shot. You think you're invincible. But if you live to be 100, what is that? An eternity, you're still going to die. Do you know Jesus? All of a sudden, if you know Jesus Christ personally, it changes everything. Live or die, I'm the Lord's. I have no plans but to finish this course. The word spectacle is amazing. The word spectacle, you might want to write this down. The word spectacle is where we get, by the way, the word in Greek is theateron. Theateron. You hear where I'm going with this? Spectacle? We have the English word what? Theater. Paul says, my life is a theater. The ministry is a theater, an exhibit. Displayed, condemned to death, a theater. And there were three episodes in what Paul is referring to here. Talking about a dead man. This was, by the way, this was written before the great Colosseum of Rome was built. But did you know they had tons of arenas throughout the empire where gladiatorial wars were conducted? Paul is using gladiatorial language right here. The word spectacle, every Corinthian would have known. Oh my goodness, he's talking about going out onto the sand. What is the word sand? Arena. Did you know that? The arena is the sand. When you hit the sand, you're not walking away. Paul says, I'm going to the theater. I'm not returning. He used graphic language. So, how do you get a dead man excited? Can you pass fish tacos in front of him? Does he get excited? No. Can you show him gold bars from all these stupid commercials we're hearing about on TV? Does he get excited? No. He's dead. Race car, house, boat, plane. Does he get excited? He's dead. Paul was a dead man. Everything he had in his life, he used for the glory of God. You guys, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. Dead. Doesn't the Bible say that we are to be dead to this world but alive unto Christ? Do you live in a house? How many of you live in a house or an apartment? You don't live outdoors. You live in a house. You know it's God's. Maybe you're here right now. I'm homeless. I sleep under blankets. Well, let us help you fix that. But those blankets, they belong to God. No, they're my blankets. No, they're God's blankets. Dead men have no plans. J. Vernon McGee. Don't you love him? He says, as a Christian, I get so tired. Oh, he's quoting someone. He said, someone came to him and said, Mr. McGee, as a Christian, I get so tired of being treated like the village idiot. Every time I try to say something about the Bible. And he says, McGee, now that is the treatment you will get. And it will hinder your Christian witness unless you're willing to be called the village idiot for Jesus' sake. Then everything works fine. We're dead men. Number two, dead men get no respect. No respect. Verse 10, he says, for we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. And he gives a litany of things where they're great and we're not. He says, the world loves you guys. They get all the respect, but Paul says, nope, we're driven from town to town, man. We're beat up. We're thrown out. Wow. Imagine having a Christian university. Christian university creating tomorrow's ministers. And they walk in, first day in class, you beat the tar out of them. Shoot tomatoes at them. George Whitefield was preaching in England the gospel and somebody threw a dead cat at him. Jesus loves you. Wow, man. Can you imagine? That's normal. No respect. This gospel's hated. And then I had to throw this in just because of the geographical place of where we live. Plus, it's kind of cool. Look at verse 14. I do not write you these things to shame you. I'm not really laying it down hard on you to make you feel bad. But as my beloved children, I warn you. What's that? Verse 14. Dead men tell no tales. Dead men tell no tales. He says, I'm warning you. I'm not slapping you around verbally. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. He says, I'm warning you. Church, the word warn means I'm warning you, cautioning you. It's a cool word. It means I'm admonishing you. It is with a firm spank, a loving, firm spank. He's trying to bring their head back down to earth. If Paul is telling a church in this letter, it's time to grow up. Get refocused on what you're in this for. That means you and I are supposed to pause, take a big breath, and ask the question, what are we doing? Is church a social club? Is church something that we do on a Sunday morning because of tradition? Is church American? What do we do? Is church, I'm going to go because it's moral. It's good. You're missing it. Church is wherever you are, if you're a believer. This is called a convocation right here. That's where believers come together in worship. We are a public spectacle to the world right now. People driving by the freeway, they look down at the parking lot and they say things like, maybe we'll go there sometime. Or, losers, dopes, or those people are the problem. Or maybe, I think I'm going to pick up my Bible again and read the letter that God has written. And he says to all of you who are broken, weary, and heavily laden with the cares and affairs of this world, will you bring it to me, he said. I'll take it from you. I'll give you my burden. It's easy and it's light. Walk with me. And you say today, but Pastor, I need a healing. I'm sick. I've got this thing going on, or my home is broken. Listen, this is the way he plays ball. Allow me to say it that way. This is the way he plays ball, not on your terms. He says, come here. You come here, and I'll take care of the rest. Maybe you've come today and you say, well, no, I want to give him all my junk. I want him to fix it. Then after he fixes it, really what I'll probably do is forget all about him. I want to be a fair weather follower of Jesus. I just want him for fire insurance. Outside of that, I just want him to stay out of my life. Jesus, you know, that's shocking. Jesus says, no, can't have me then. He's not the Lord on a list of 10 things and he's number one. No, he's the Lord on a list of one. Oh no, Jesus, you're number one. And people will argue about this. The Lord's number one, my husband or my wife's number two, the kids are number three, my job is number four. You know what? Forget about that. Have one list, Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called How Can We Serve You? It's a mini-series that takes a look at the first 14 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul explains how and why we believers are servants and stewards, as he puts it. Again, the title is How Can We Serve You? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, Pastor Jack is with us here to tell us about our featured resource here in a minute. But you know what's kind of cool, Pastor Jack, is walking around the campus here, and I'll say, hey, you know what I read in the Bible this morning? And somebody will say, yes, I know exactly, because we're so all reading the same thing, the one-year Bible. We're offering it as a resource. Tell us about it.
It's absolutely true, and it is awesome. 8 years running, we've been doing this, where the whole church together on January 1st starts going through the Bible together.
Right.
And we ended on December 31st in our private reading time, or wherever you're at, anywhere in the world, traveling, whatever. We read the one-year Bible as our devotion. And it's been amazing. It's, you know what, Davey? It's taken a big church and made it real small.
Right.
Because, like you said, we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool. And what we want to do as we approach December 31st and on the brink of a whole new year, we do this every year, is for the months of November and December, we make this available to the body, and it is the one-year Bible. And we're asking you guys to do the same thing. And so if you were to send us a donation of any size, we want to send this Bible to you.
And you're winking. Why are you winking at me?
I know. I hope they heard that. A donation of any size.
We want to get this into your hands.
That means send us a penny.
We want to get this into your hands.
Exactly. Send us a penny and we will mail it to you. What kind of a deal is that?
That's a pretty good deal if you ask me.
The Word of God, the eternal Word of God for one penny. Okay? So, listen, we want to hear from you, and Davey, tell them how.
Give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO, or you can get a hold of this resource at realradioactive.org. That's the best way, realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.